The fact is an object of spirit beings, such as angels. They denied that man had a spirit that would survive death. The Pharisees accepted the existence of the angels, and they accepted the existence of an inner man, a spirit of man that would survive physical death. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did believe in the resurrection. So there were some things that they could have been commended for. But Jesus pointed out those things for which they stood condemned. In Matthew 23, verses 1 through 4 beginning, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their words, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feast, the best seats in the synagogue, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all bread. Just to explain here about these phylacteries were little boxes that they would attach to the arm with some kind of a band. And in this little box, they would keep portions of scripture that they had memorized. And so they wanted to show that they had memorized great portions of scripture. They had these big old broad boxes strapped to their arm to show how many scriptures, how big the box had to be to hold all the scriptures that they had memorized. And so it's like the knife is on the guns of outlaws of the Old West, showing how many people that their gun had killed. And so they were very proud people, these Pharisees and these scribes, and they did all their works to be seen by men. But do not be called on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. He's telling his disciples they need to be just the opposite of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were exalting themselves, unless they would be humbled by God. You need to humble yourself, and therefore God will exalt you. And he goes back and talks about the scribes and Pharisees. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Now remember, the common people heard Jesus gladly, so oftentimes the worst sinners would repent and believe the gospel and would submit to the baptism of John, which was continued to be enforced by Jesus and his disciples. But here were the Pharisees, they were trying to prevent those from entering into the kingdom by turning them away by their incessant condemnations of Jesus and asking him all these strict questions, etc., which of course always backfired. And they guilty of extorting money from widows, so the widows couldn't even pay their bills, and in their long prayer were all a pretense. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the golden temple, he is obliged to perform it. And here they were making these paralyzed distinctions in their vows, and said, well, if you vow in this regard, if you swear by the temple, that doesn't matter. But if you swear by the golden temple, then that really matters. And these were distinctions they were making in order to get out of performing their oaths, in order to get out of following through on what they had sworn to do. Who is then wise, or which is greater, the gold in the temple, or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift, it is much. He is obliged to perform it. Another distinction they're making. Fools and wise, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Just as the temple sanctifies the gold rather than gold the temple, and the altar sanctifies the gift rather than the gift sanctifies the altar. And so they had it all backwards. They were elevating the gold of the temple above the temple itself, and elevating the gift on the altar above the altar itself. Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. You can't say, well, I didn't swear by the gift on the altar. I just swore by the altar because the gift is an extension of the altar. But like in basketball, the basketball is an extension of the player. When the player is good with the basketball, he's an extension of the player. And so the gift on the altar, it is on the altar, it's a part of the altar. So if you swear by the altar, you swear by it and by all things lying. You swear by the temple, you swear by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven, swears by the throne of God and by him who's discarded. And so these hairline distinctions are not going to amount to a hell of things. If you swear to do a thing, you're going to have to do it. Whether it's by the temple or the soul of the temple. What are you trying to pray? These hypocrites. He pays tithe of mint and anise coming and has neglected the weight of your hand is the law of justice and mercy and faith. These you are good about without leaving the others undone. Blind guys are straying out in that and swallow a camel. You know, sometimes people will criticize you and say, well, you're standing at a mat. He does not condemn straining at gnats. He's condemning swallowing the camel. They were straining at gnats when they were getting down on their hands and knees in the garden and counting all the leaves of mint and anise and coming to make sure they give exactly a tenth of them. But they were swallowing the camel when they were ignoring the weightier matters of law, justice, mercy, and faith. These they ought to have done without leaving the others undone. And so he condemns them again on that score. Well, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, but the outside of them may be clean also. Now, Jesus is here using a regular practice as they figure speech for something else. They were going to great extent to make sure that they put all their pots and things through a ceremonial washing. He's not just talking about literally cleaning, but the ceremonially washing. And he makes the application to their bodies. They're going through the ceremonial washings of their bodies, but they were neglecting the inside, the inner man that really needed to be cleaned. And so cleansing inside the cup and dish, so the outside then may be clean also. He's talking about the inside because some of being full of extortion and self-indulgence. Well, the cup and dish literally couldn't be, but their bodies, their cells were full of distortion and self-indulgence. Quote, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And so, yes, they made a lot about their physical appearance and how clean they were and how meticulous they were in their dress and in their clothing and how clean they were ceremoniously and physically, but they were inside full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness, full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. They were not as they ought to have been inside. Well, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Why? Because of the way that they had treated Jesus and the other prophets who had come, including, of course, John the Baptist, whom they treated with disdain. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt, serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city. Then on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. What do you think? If you're going to do just like your ancestors did, and then God finally does get sick and tired of being sick and tired, His wrath is going to come upon you. And all the righteous blood shed on earth is going to come upon you. It's going to be avenged from you. And so, you just keep on treating the Lord's people like you've been treating them. The Lord's wrath will come down upon you. But here I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See? Your house is that you desolate, for I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes to the name of the Lord. Lord, I believe, longed to speak to them with the voice of the Lamb of God, but he could not because of their character. They could only hear from him the voice of the Lion of Judah, the voice of condemnation. We noticed also last week, the adulterous woman, she heard the voice of compassion as Jesus refused to take up stones against her, having not witnessed personally her adultery. Those others had not stoned her, though they claimed to have witnessed it. And it says, go and sin no more. Others heard or will hear the voice of condemnation. Those who practice lawlessness will hear the voice of condemnation. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Here he's not talking about the kingdom that exists on earth, but the kingdom as it will exist in heaven. Not everyone who calls upon his name as Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's those who do the will of his Father in heaven. All others are practicing lawlessness. They will hear the voice of condemnation. We also talk about the penitent thief that hung on the cross. Now he heard the voice of compassion as Jesus told him today, you will be with me in paradise. But on the other hand, those who desecrated the temple heard the voice of condemnation. Over in John chapter 2, on one of two different occasions, the first of two occasions, where Jesus cleansed the temple because they had desecrated it. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. Now here is the situation. You've got people who come from all over the kingdom, all over the Roman Empire to Jerusalem to worship. They had to offer a lamb, and it had to be without spot. It had to be less than a year old or a year old. And so certain qualifications, certain conditions that had to be met in order for a lamb to be accepted by God. Some of them, instead of bringing it all the way and taking a chance on it being crippled or something on the way, they would buy the animal there in Jerusalem. And all these animal salesmen and money changers, because not everybody accepted the currency from where they had come, and so they would exchange their money. But like when we go to Mexico or to Canada, we exchange our dollars for whatever is used, like in pesos in Mexico, or we go to different times. We don't have to, but it's a little easier to change the money. And they're exorbitant. They're charging excess fees here. And so they're desecrating the temple. And so he made a whip of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. And so they heard the voice of the Lion of Judah. They heard the voice of condemnation. No compassion for those people. What they were doing was without excuse. And there was no penitence apparent on their part. And we also talked about Zacchaeus last week. And he was a wee little man. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. He was a tax collector. The Pharisees and the other Jews looked down their noses at the tax collectors and classed them with other sinners, with the immoral people. And they even considered Zacchaeus not just a tax collector, lonely enough, but an immoral person as well, that he showed penitence. But we're also going to notice another group that will hear the voice of compassion that we didn't talk about last week, and that's those who are on the right at the judgment. In Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and he gave me food. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. I was naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came to me. So they heard the voice of the Lamb of God, words of compassion. inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. So, they heard the voice of compassion. But those on the left of the judgment will hear the voice of condemnation. They will be the last to hear the voice of condemnation. Then you also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, before it's prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not or did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous can do eternal life. Which voice of Christ do you want to hear at the judgment? Do you want to be over there on the left and hear the voice of condemnation? Depart from me, you cursed, in everlasting fire, prayers of the devil and his angels. Or do you want to be on the right and hear the voice of compassion, the voice of the Lamb of God, inherit the kingdom from the foundation of the world? Do you want to hear the Lamb of God, or do you want to hear the Lion of Judah? Throughout your life here on the earth, no matter what your condition, if your condition is such that you are not in a right relationship with God, you will, throughout life, from time to time, hear the voice of compassion. God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, Christians generally, preachers in particularly, extending to you an invitation and opportunity to hear the voice of the Lamb of God. If you haven't done that, you simply not lived the life that God would expect of you. You've not been a faithful kingdom citizen, and need to repent of that and confess that sin and be restored. We would encourage you to come right with us.